in the limelight.
What is happening among Palestinians today is part of what is happening in Al-Quds and Gaza, and is a continuation of what happened on Land Day in 1976 after the Sabra and Shatila massacre in 1982 during the Second Intifada, says Abir Kopti, author, in an article titled "From North to South, Palestinians are fighting to reclaim their voice." Stay tuned for more. When Palestinians took part in the Second Intifada and protested in their towns and villages, the narrative was that they were protesting the discrimination they faced in the occupied Palestine as citizens, as opposed to being part of the uprising against the occupation. This was because these protests came a few years after the signing of the Oslo Accords, which told Palestinian citizens that they were no longer a part of the Palestinian liberation cause. This narrative was echoed by the Palestinian leadership and the international community, who refused to look at issues from institutional discrimination to racism and apartheid as an integral part of the Israeli settler colonial regime. Their problems were framed as civil rights issues. No one was interested in listening to the narrative of liberation. Today, Palestinians are rising up in Aqqa, Lid, Ramla, Nazaret, Haifa, and dozens of other Palestinian cities and villages across historic Palestine, sending a simple but powerful message. We are all united for one cause, and all attempts to divide us have failed. While it might be more comfortable for some to think of Aqqa or Lid in a context separate from Al-Quds or Al-Khalil, all are subjected to the Zionist regime's colonial project, which might differ in technicalities, but not in its supreme goal to maintain a Jewish majority and superiority over Palestinians. In other words, the goal is to colonize Palestinian lands and drive Palestinians out. The recent Human Rights Watch HRW report, A Threshold Crossed, Israeli authorities and the crimes of apartheid and persecution is important not just for its content, but also for its approach. Finally, human rights advocates are addressing the various policies affecting all the different parts of Palestine. HRW points to several policies inside the occupied Palestine that are essentially no different from what is happening in Sheikh Jarrah, Al-Quds, or other areas of the occupied West Bank, noting that Israeli regime authorities methodically privilege Jewish Israelis and discriminate against Palestinians. Palestinian citizens of occupied Palestine, who comprise 19% of the population, reside on just 3% of the land. Palestinians lost most of their land after 1948 Nakba due to confiscation and displacement by the Israeli regime. An estimated 200,000 Palestinians are internally displaced, meaning they might live a few kilometers from their original villages. But the Israeli regime continues to deny their right to return, as it does to millions of Palestinian refugees. As HRW notes, many Palestinian towns and villages are surrounded by land designated for purposes such as security zones, Jewish regional councils, national parks, and nature reserves or highways, which prevent or impede the possibility of their expansion in the future. Around 90,000 Palestinian Bedouins in Nagab live under constant threat of displacement, residing in nearly 40 unrecognized communities that are denied access to education, health services, electricity, and sewage systems. One such village, Al-Aqrib, has been demolished by the Israeli regime 185 times, while tens of thousands of homes in Palestinian towns and villages are at risk of demolition because they lack building permits. Palestinians in mixed cities such as Lee, Dhaka, Jaffa, and Ramla have been subjected to ethnic cleansing, Judaization, and the erasure of their Palestinian identity. The village of Damash between Lee and Ramla is another Sheikh Jarrah. Its approximately 1,000 Palestinian residents have been fighting against the threat of displacement for two decades. Two Palestinians in Damash were martyred, having no shelters to run to when sirens alerted them of an incoming strike. If these were not enough reasons to be angry, the Zionist regime has also developed other direct and indirect strategies of suffocation to make life for Palestinians unbearable. More than a third of Palestinians live in poverty due to decades of Zionist regime negligence and budgetary discrimination, imposed socioeconomic and security challenges, including high poverty and unemployment, aim to drain Palestinians and keep them too busy to address the broader context. Yet one should not underestimate the power of people to rise up in times of despair. What is happening among Palestinians today is part of what is happening in Al-Quds and Gaza, and is a continuation of what happened on Land Day in 1976, after the Sabra and Shatila massacre in 1982, during the Second Intifada, and during the Stop Power Plan campaign in 2013. This is the culmination of a struggle for freedom, dignity, justice, and the right to return to their lands. If people are deprived of power and of a voice for decades, they will sooner or later rise up to reclaim it. Now is the time to try to understand this anger, rather than telling people to stay calm and endure further injustices.